This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I'm in oddly high spirits. A woman was offering me mezcal shots last night at the bar, and it went down like Danimals.
Is that good? I've never
Smooth.
Had. Oh, got it. I would have said Go-Gurt, but Danimals. Yeah. You know when you pound a whole pack of Danimals? It's one of those days.
Just one of those days.
It's all about the he said. Okay. Punch it!
It's time for Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam.
I'm gonna cry.
Hi, hello, welcome, shalom.
Bon weekend.
What was that one?
Bon weekend.
Bon weekend to all of you, my punchbacks of
Notre. It
means
have a good weekend.
In
French.
French?
It's like a goodbye.
Okay, well, get this. Punchbacks of Notre Dame.
I had an Uber driver and he was like, hey, do you mind? I have the audiobook of Hunchback of Notre Dame. Do you mind if we listen to a passage and then we can talk about it?
Is that true?
From LAX to Pasadena. And then I was like, I thought he like forgot that we were going to have a talk back. And I was like, thank God he forgot.
No.
And then he stopped it. He's like, so what'd you think?
So he's looking at me through outsourcing the rear view. His dissertation while making money.
Yeah.
I love that man.
I felt panicked. It was like, am I in school?
Speaking of men I love, are you ready? This is your intro. You know him as a Variety top 10 comic to watch, currently touring Bulba every day. It's Chris Lemon!
Help! Please!
Thank you so much for
Stop
coming.
Stop hurting
home.
Me!
I swear to God, it's for fun.
Thank you, Mil.
Does it make you feel better if I say I'm hurting you for fun?
Yeah.
That's
it's better than what you told me earlier about how you watched me for many years in a parking lot.
Listen, for people not knowing
like
what I'm
caiman.
Talking about.
Like an absolute caiman.
That's not a joke. I did do that. And I just told Chris right before we started taping. And I don't feel bad about it. You're a delight to watch and you were in a public space. So yeah.
No, you're right.
I'm allowed to do that.
No, I just wish you had said something. I mean, I'm just thinking like how relaxed was my face?
Oh, did you not want anyone to see your face off hours?
When I first went to college during orientation, where there was a camp that we went to for like an outdoors thing, and I took a long bath, and a bunch of like women kind of, there was like a peephole, and I found out later they were like watching me bathe, and my first fear was that they were watching my bath face more than seeing my nude form.
You just described something that is very upsetting.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's fucked up.
At that age, I did not have any preciousness about my body.
Just your face.
Just my relaxed face, yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I think that...
Enough about me.
No, not enough about you. You're so funny. I'm so happy you agreed to do this. And I'm so happy that you chose... I can't even say it. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that by Meat Loaf.
Mm-hmm.
Two words.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this song? Like, what's your history, background, experience with the song? Why are you like, I want to talk about this one?
Well, it's a relatively new one for me.
Yeah.
And I became upset. I was driving and it came on. And it's like a
ballad. Power ballad.
You feel, it's not safe for driving.
No. You're going to crash every
car.
You're
going to go into the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so
And you're not even mad about it.
No, I couldn't stop listening to it, especially the live version that he did in 2001. There's a video that I watched on repeat till the witching, far past the witching hour one night. And I could not take my eyes off it. And it's the most unhinged performance. he's like... He refuses to start it for 4 minutes. And there's an orchestra behind him.
And they're just vamping?
Yeah, he's menacing the brass section and everything, and like people in the crowd are not having a good time, and it's this massive wide stage, and everyone like clearly wants to leave,
uh-huh.
And he's like, he's so feral in it, and then at one point, this is what like, it's the most inspirational thing I think I've seen in a long time. He just takes off. Midline, he just starts sprinting like shuttle run style. and the cameras can't move fast enough to get it. It's like, because it's so impossible to predict. Like, it makes no sense why he's made this choice all of a sudden. The backup singer's like, I do anything for love. And he just
get all the of steps a sudden, in.
And the cameras like try to catch him, and he sprints to the Presidential Fitness style.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you gotta get 7 minute mile.
Yeah. Like, that's what it was like. It was a shuttle run. And I've rewatched that. I sent it to my the backing band that I'm touring with. I was like, this is the energy I want. Mm-hmm. This is the only time I've done that before was with Billy Joel doing like a much too fast tempo of Uptown Girl at Wembley. And it's like 40 seconds. And he has like all of his friends clapping into a, it's like, it's this tempo. he gets it done, I think, in 40 seconds.
I'm so happy you bring Billy Joel up, because when I was doing the clips for this, I was hard pressed to think of another artist that has just done something truly so, what's the word? Brave. It is such a trip, this song, even without the shuttle run.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is this song? I'd only ever heard, you know, the chorus. And even then, I think I'd only heard the halftime chorus. I would do anything. Turns out there's three versions of this song.
Okay.
The album version is 12 minutes and 1 second.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that one. That's too long.
I'm not sure you're missing out.
That's an Adult Swim show.
That is a whole ass sketch. That's a short film.
Yeah.
The video version is 7 minutes and 48 seconds.
That's about right. That's what it should be.
Well, the single version, which is what I grabbed because, you know, we have things to do.
Right.
Is only 5 minutes and 13 seconds.
Please.
And when they
I don't even want to look at that.
When they told the songwriter Jim Steinman that they were going to have to cut it down to have radio, he was so upset that he personally sent the radio stations the long version too. Just to be like, just for food for thought, this one exists.
Because you need it. Because like the second time change is like where I really, that makes me want, like, I lose my mind when that comes in.
I hope the one I grabbed has that. I honestly don't know.
Oh, it definitely, I mean, that's the most crucial.
Do you know the girl who sings on this, her real name?
She's definitely from the woods, the woman. And she comes out of fucking nowhere. What's her name? Sorry.
Her real name is Lorraine Crosby, but she is known. And I don't know why, but I felt like you especially would appreciate
as the Fox.
Close. Mrs. Loud.
No.
Yeah. No. Just goes by Mrs. Loud.
Mrs. Loud?
Yep. And the album, it was largely considered Meatloaf's comeback album.
Yeah.
Because he had, this is all news to me, by the way.
Is she from the Spider-Verse?
Meatloaf and Mrs. Loud.
Mrs. Loud.
It was a direct-to-DVD sequel. The original album he had was called Bat Out of Hell,
right,
from 1977. I was shocked to find out it is one of the best-selling albums of all time.
Yeah, like, where was I on the whole Meatloaf thing? I completely missed it.
Personally, not born yet for me, 77, but...
Oh, same.
I also missed when this came out in 93. This album, ready for this name?
Mm-hmm.
Bat Out of Hell 2, Back Into Hell.
So it undoes itself?
It really does. Everything about
it makes
this
zero
is
progress.
Just, no, the it goes right back. It just keeps getting funnier.
He must know he's funny.
I think it has to be intentional.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, okay, I have so many notes. Okay, I have to get through this. The song was a commercial success. It reached number one in 28 countries.
Mm-hmm.
The guy playing piano, do you know who that is?
No.
It is Roy Bittan, a.k.a. the professor from Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know who directed the music
video?
He's
definitely playing the piano with his elbows at one point in that song.
I'm telling you, the Billy Joel
he's
energy is palpable.
It. Yeah.
He is.
He's jumping from a high height down with his elbows.
Watch over this, brother. Just slamming the piano. They went through so many pianos.
Mrs. Loud, watch out. He's falling.
Do you know who directed the music video?
Oh, God. David Fincher? I don't know.
Oh, my God. He was the second pick. No joke.
Really?
God, something's happening with you today. You should go get a lottery ticket.
It's the Mezcal Haze. I'm just like.
That's also your next album.
I'm seeing through it. Yeah.
Mezcal Haze.
Yeah.
It was none other than Michael Bay.
No.
Yes.
No.
He made the music video, which if you haven't seen it, absolutely watch it.
He's dressed like full, like a beast, right?
He is. The music video is described as a combination of both Beauty and the Beast
right.
and Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, you made a video.
I did, yeah.
About the guy, the Phantom, I don't know his name.
Trying to dock his boat for the winter months. I was highly advised. People are like, no one's gonna enjoy this.
Ooh, it hit me right in the Venn diagram. That's exactly what I wanted. Oh, tickled me so deeply.
Oh, good.
You're so on the money about David Fincher. He was the first choice, but he wanted $1.7
million. Stop it.
I'm not kidding.
Stop it.
But then Bay was able to do it for a cool $750,000.
So Meatloaf. Oh, and then David Fincher put Meatloaf in Fight Club.
And Spice World. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think he did that movie. But yeah, Meatloaf is in that movie, isn't he? Or is he? I don't know. They all look the same.
Meatloaf gaffed on Spice World.
No, he plays the bus driver. And they ask him to do something and he goes,
Come
I
on.
Won't do that. Yeah. No, he's like more or less playing Meatloaf.
While looking to camera?
Yeah, right. Like, bing, there's a little wink.
Yeah.
Oh,
totally out of focus, like centimeters from the camera.
I honestly, okay.
Gravy all over his face.
I'm going to do the Patreon comment now because I have a clip to play alongside it.
Oh, wow.
Again, I could be, I don't.
Do you mind if I run a quick errand?
I think you're going to like this.
Yeah.
But you might hate it. I don't know.
Oh.
All my years of watching you, I feel like I think you're going to like it.
Oh, I'm not going to hate it.
We'll see. I didn't make it.
Oh, okay.
Mindy Wilson alerted me. She said, have you ever seen the episode of The Apprentice where Meatloaf has a screaming meltdown because he thinks someone stole his paint sponge? So I grabbed 40 seconds of it. The person, this just sounds like I made this up. The person he's screaming at, who you can hear for a brief moment in the video or audio, is none other than Gary Busey.
Oh my God.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I bought those motherfucking sponges. Part of that paint is mine. I'm sick and tired of you, motherfucking.
No, 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 no.
That was all mine in my basket.
Bullshit, mother.
No, I have the receipt.
Hold on, guys. Hold on.
You don't want to make you get it. You don't want to start with me.
Meat, don't do it. Don't do it.
Motherfucking. You do not want to with me. You look in my eyes. I am the last person in the world. You ever wanna with? You understand me?
That pause. They were just bleeping out full prepositional phrases too.
I'm winded.
Oh my God.
That man is so scary.
So he doesn't think he's funny. He's doing this very genuinely.
He might have some master plan knowing he was going to get so much screen time if he had a meltdown about a paint sponge. I don't know. I will say that's a terrifying. If a man's capable of screaming like that, I usually stay pretty far away from him. But God almighty.
So Gary Busey was stealing his sponges?
Supposedly. The world will never know what actually
happened. What were they doing with sponges?
This is context clues, but what I understand is they had some challenge where they had to, you know, like get art supplies for like some totally inconsequential challenge on the Celebrity Apprentice. And he couldn't find his art supplies and he, for some reason, was like, Gary Busey must have stolen them.
Well, a paint sponge is usually reserved for decorating an infant's room, right?
Or like a birdhouse. Yeah, sponge painting is a pretty specific style of painting.
It's like a crib wall type thing.
Yeah, or, you know.
So he wanted something delicate.
He was really, I don't know if it was just the sponges, but I think that was really the thing that tipped him over the edge. When he thought about Gary Busey painting with his delicate sponge, it was too much.
Sometimes there's so much beauty in the world, I can barely stand it.
Also, to now know we're going to go into this song, this love ballad.
That's the same vibe that he has kind of like with just taking off. Like it's that he
there's something
there's
chaotic
something, yeah.
deep inside of him.
Yeah.
I mean the hell thing.
An absolute imp.
He really is. He's straight from the River Styx itself.
Yeah.
And I think he knows it. And I think we kind of all do too, but like we have to pretend we don't because it's too frightening to face head on.
and just his sheer size is also...
He's short, though. He's shorter than you'd think.
Oh, is he?
At least, again, context
clues. I imagine
clues.
Him as like 6'11".
He has the energy of an angry man who's angry because he's short, but I might just be assuming that. I'm not sure he actually is short. Okay, then we have to lastly talk about the elephant in the room.
Oh, dear.
What that is. I will do anything for love, but I won't do that. Everyone's really upset about it.
Right, right.
People are like, anal sex, pegging, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why it's always butt stuff. Everyone's pissed.
Well, that the person who produced this song, I think, is the same person who...
Jimmy.
Who did that Celine Dion song.
Jim Steinman, yes. I think he did the...
It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Yes, which has the same kind of vibe as this song, I feel like.
She has that line in there, there were things we'd never do again, but then they'd always seemed right, which always I always think she's talking about anal.
So this man just has big anal energy.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it just kind of fills the room.
So, okay, here's what I have to say about it. It is very clear in the lyrics that every time he says that, he's referring back to what he just said he wouldn't do in the previous verse. Oh. So mystery is not actually a mystery at all. It's
okay.
Right there.
Okay.
However, Steinman, the man you think maybe is responsible for this, he did write the song. So technically he is. But I guess that when they were working on it, it occurred to Steinman... This is actually confusing. We should change this lyric. And Meatloaf mm-hmm. was like, absolutely not. Everyone will get it. It's so obvious. It's right there.
Yeah.
So they actually.
You don't mess with me.
I am the last person. Look in these eyes. So they actually had a bet.
20 minute pause. Do you understand me?
It's like also the ultimate way to lose your any power you had from screaming. Which, by the way, the person who's screaming already lost the power. But. To have to ask for clarification at the end.
You just snapping in agreement.
Thank you. You just lost it all. He says, it was Jimmy in the studio who said, nobody's going to know what that is. And I said, of course they will. People aren't stupid, you know. They'll know what that is, Jimmy. It's right there in the lyric. How can you not know? So we bet $100 and I lost $100. And with that said, should we get into the song?
Yeah.
Okay. Brace yourself.
Oh, elbows. Elbows and feet.
And then slow it down.
And rocks, yeah.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back.
Oh. That's what he would do?
He'd run into hell
and come back.
I'm not.
He'd pool hop. Into the river Styx and then get right out. Oh, that's what he would do.
That's what he will do.
That's the only.
I'm not sure anyone.
Oh, right. He still doesn't answer the question.
No, he hasn't told us yet what he won't do.
Okay.
He will go to hell.
Yeah, what won't he? Okay.
Don't worry. We got clips to play. However, I'm not sure why anyone for love or otherwise would ever need you to go to hell.
Yeah, it's a huge ass.
Like to save Meg, I can only assume we're in the Hercules universe.
That's what I was thinking.
Otherwise, you're like, I love you so much, I would go to hell for you. But don't worry, I'd come back.
Maybe it's like, let's commit a crime to get. It's like, as if your partner is like, I want to do
commit
a robbery.
Oh, yeah, robbery.
Or right. Something right. Robbery won't send you to hell.
Also, infanticide.
Yeah.
I'm going to hell for pronouncing that wrong. Sure. Okay. What an opening line. He's like, just so you know, the name of the album is Bat Out of Hell 2, Back into Hell. Just going to establish that right up front.
He's obsessed about entering and exiting hell.
Also, he's letting us know musically that that's what's happening with that raucous piano solo right at the beginning.
Yeah.
That starts at a totally different tempo than the rest of the song.
Yeah.
I feel like he just brought me to hell. What's happening? Okay, now he's going to go on to say what? How do you follow that? You just started at 11. I'll go into hell and come back.
Right.
And
I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact.
That's less impressive.
You can't start at 11 and then go down to 3.
Zero
even. I'll never lie to you, and that's, say it with me, a fact.
A fact.
Caught you mid-LaCroix.
So he kind of assumes that style of speaking. Like, that's kind of how he was yelling, too.
Yeah, like there's something Renaissance fairy-ian about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is how you do say that as an adjective. Renaissance fairy-ian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's over-proclamating. I can't talk today.
I think it's like, yeah, he started with something so dramatic. And now that he has our attention, he kind of freaks out and doesn't know how to follow it up.
Oh, God, that's too. Are you looking me dead in the eyes and seeing my soul? It's my whole life in one sentence, brother.
You come.
I just brother. Want attention now that I have it.
Hey, brother.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
So you come in swinging on the first impression and then the second.
I have nothing.
You get the sophomore slump.
Oh, big time. Mm-hmm. I would say after the age of 6, it's been a sophomore slump.
Okay.
When you showboat so hard and you got nothing left in the tank for the rest of your life.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying?
I totally know what you're saying.
Okay, and now we move on to whatever this is.
Yeah.
But I'll never Whoa, wind.
That was a hurricane.
Away. One more time. Yeah. You hear that storm.
Wow, that's a tropical storm. Buckle up.
No, no way. And I would do anything for love. But I won't do that.
Now the elevator is just about to careen.
This is the moment in the Tower of Terror.
This is yeah.
Where what's his face when Twilight Zone's like, goodbye, Clarice. Not so he says. What is this?
Love the suit.
I want to revisit the way that the background vocals accentuate no way. Because there's like an angelic choir.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Well, yeah.
No way.
There's in a lot of his songs, there's a vibe that it sounds like people that he's keeping in his place.
It's so haunted.
It seems like it's captives. Like he occasionally just mics the basement.
Have you seen that movie 13 Ghosts with Matthew Lillard?
No.
Hello, Mr. Monk himself is in it.
What? Hello, wake up.
What? I'm just trying so badly to remember his name.
Mr. Monk? Tony Shalhoub?
Tony Shalhoub. I'm just looking around with the most desperate eyes, being like, somebody help me. I can't remember.
I thought you were looking for visual cues.
Tony.
Like you have Tony Shalhoub written in different places.
Tony.
In your
Tony
studio.
Wall. Tony Shalhoub.
I can never remember Tony's name. There it is. Tony Shalhoub.
I imagine this is a similar plot. There's 13 ghosts locked in this house and they all have a contributing part to the song.
Yeah.
Even Pinhead himself from Slipknot. Listen, these are deep cuts on 13 Ghosts. You do need to see it.
I will.
Okay, so that was like, so far we're like,
do you mind
beautiful.
If I quickly watch it?
Yeah, sure. This is an after prom party.
Yeah.
He set us up to be like, this is a beautiful romantic ballad. I'm a sweet boy. It's just ironic that my name's Meatloaf. Who knows why? The bat out of hell thing. It's all in jest. This is a love song.
I'm soft.
I'm so soft.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Meatloaf for sure is soft.
Oh, definitely.
He's like the softest of the soft.
Oh, absolutely.
Anybody that can scream like that again is hiding that they are a hard shell on a ball of goo.
Oh, completely.
Just a ball of it.
Taffy.
Now he's going to say, just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Here are my wolves.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to let them out in your house.
I have so many elbows on so many pianos right freaking now.
No, I won't do that.
Oh, my God.
Some days it don't come easy. And some days it don't come
easy. He's like imagine sitting on that golden egg. Like imagine mm-hmm. like imagine the confidence that you would have if you were like if you had that filthy little secret that you were about to unwrap for everybody.
Even the confidence to have a ballad for a minute and 20 seconds, which by the way is probably longer in the longer versions of this song, knowing that at the end of it, you're going to just throw this glitter in our eyes.
Right.
If that's a good thing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I love glitter in my eyes.
Yeah.
A day's not complete when I don't have glitter in my peeps. Yeah. Then he comes in to say, and some days it don't come easy.
And some days it don't come hard. Right?
Is that? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I guess, yeah, right. I guess I haven't thought too much about it.
No, well, now you're gonna, because that's what this podcast is.
Some days it don't come easy, isn't it?
So I feel like maybe he thought Jim Steinman, we should give him proper credit here, was like,
yeah, Jimmy S.
Classic Jimmy S. move, saying like, It's just saying that some days it is easy.
Right.
It doesn't come hard, it's easy. But if you're into a love song, maybe I'm just a pervert.
Come hard is a pretty... It's a pretty sexual, phrase, yeah.
Strong combination of words. I don't know.
It's something that, it's something that if you heard your parents say, it wouldn't be, it's like...
I mean, my parents would say it, but my parents also...
Like when they say eating out and stuff.
No, my parents delight in talking about having sex with each other.
Oh!
To me.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
delight
my God.
Delight in it.
Where are you from?
A remote island off the coast of Washington State.
Okay.
If that fills in the picture anymore for you.
Yeah.
On the old Patreon, actually,
big trees.
The gift you'd get when you subscribed was my drawing.
Piece of your island?
It's a chunk of rocks. It was a drawing I made when I was 7 years old, six maybe, of my parents taking a hot tub together.
No.
Yeah, I drew their full genitals.
No, you didn't.
I sure did.
Oh my God.
Listen.
Oh my God.
If that helps you understand me any better.
Did the government get, was there like.
No, we're just hippies, baby.
So, but that's something that you show a teacher and like there people do it.
Listen, my teacher.
Like check up on the house, right?
No. You have to understand.
Okay.
The teachers are of the same cloth.
The teachers are doing
it. In fact, when I was in third grade, my teacher, who shall remain nameless because I'm pretty sure this was illegal, but she was my fucking angel sent from heaven. She was the opposite of a bat out of hell. She found out my parakeet flew away.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Again, remote island, cold, rainy, Pacific Northwest. Parakeet probably doesn't have much of a chance.
No.
And after 2 days of not coming to school because I was so bereft, my parents did allow us to have mental health days.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm telling you, hippies, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Thing. I finally came back to school, and at lunch, she was like, see me in my classroom. Mm. We'll have lunch in the class. And I was like, okay. She was like, have you gone to the pet store? And I was like, why would I go there? Well, in case they have a spotting of your parakeet. And I was like, okay, I'm 8, but you're crazy. That's not happening. And she was like, let's just really quick go over there and check.
From school?
Yeah, during lunch. Drives me over to the pet store. Have you seen any blue parakeets?
No.
Actually, we just got a call about a found parakeet. Drives me over to the person who got the call. And it's my parakeet.
No way.
My parakeet flew 10 miles
and like,
to
oh.
town and landed on a little kid's head.
Stop it.
I swear to God. Not only did this all happen, but then I found my parakeet because my teacher was like, let's go find
out. She had a harebrained scheme.
That's what I'm saying, man. When the island, this is the island. Everybody's in on it.
You know, so what she did was lawfully wrong, but morally
emotionally
right.
True.
Yeah, it was true.
And I had Ike for another 2 more years. I was on the front page of the paper with a photo of my head, my bird on it, saying, Ike takes a hike.
Stop it.
I swear to God.
Stop it.
And he was great until my mom let him out again. Then he flew away and did not come back the second time.
Ike takes a hike.
Yeah.
That local newsroom must have.
I still have the article.
The tape. They must have just swamped the bench when they came up with that.
Old Ted, what's really funny is that, again, it's an island. So, the journalism. Rereading the article as an adult that has studied writing, it is...
lacking.
I'm not going to shade Ted. Old Ted, he wrote an article about me. I appreciate that, but...
This fraught with run-ons.
I would say there was a childlike enthusiasm.
Some days it don't come at all, and these are the days that never end. And some nights you're breathing fire, and some nights you're talking nice.
What?
Some nights you're like nothing I've ever seen before. Will again.
I have to understand what the fuck he's talking about because he's singing it so jovially. I just want to be in on it.
I don't question it. It's the way, the manner in which he's saying it.
Confident.
I've never really questioned it. There's one line that I question, but we're not there yet.
He said, some nights you're breathing fire.
Oh.
Some nights you're you're carved in ice.
Mm-hmm.
Some nights you're like nothing I've never seen before. Or will again.
Or will again. That's a paradox. Right. If it's some nights.
Yeah.
If he's seeing it multiple
nights.
Yeah. So that's flawed.
So he actually can't retain his sanity and sing this song.
And the woman he's singing with, it's
Mrs. Loud, please.
Mrs. Loud. Mm-hmm. It's she looks identical to Maria Bamford.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
That's so not what I imagined when I was listening
to
this.
Or at least, I think they replace her. I think it's not, maybe it's not Mrs. Loud.
No, they had an actress play her in the video.
But for the live versions, she like comes out at the end and gets the most tepid applause from the crowd. And they have...
Are you sure it's Lorene Crosby
chemistry.
And not the woman that maybe is in his band or something?
Who knows? I have no idea who she is. But he sings with this much passion, and then their chemistry is an absolute zero on the pH scale.
Oh, that's like some, yeah. I mean, we've all been there.
Oh, absolutely.
You're like, this is going to be so great. And then it goes to happen, and you're like, oh, this.
Right.
I think I'm just going to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm just going to go. Also, why is it breathing fire and then carved in ice? Mm-hmm. What are you made out of?
Right.
Ice dragon?
Carved in ice.
He's singing to a dragon, I'm pretty sure. This whole song.
He wants a fucking dragon.
I feel like it is, right? I also skipped the little line between them. Some days it don't come at all, and these are the days that never end. This is a cry for help. He's wedded to a dragon and he needs to escape.
And sometimes it don't come at all. So that's ED is what he's describing, right?
Oh, and those days never end.
Those are the long days.
The day your dick's like, I'm taking a day off, brother.
That's a 48-hour day.
Just all day trying. Oh, never giving up. You know, hands, what are they for? We have one use. Okay, sure. Okay, me love. I'll follow you on this train. I'm curious to see where we're going.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Whoa, another half time.
It's crazy, yeah. And it's true. I know you can save me. No one else can save me now but you.
Okay, ready? Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Codependent. This isn't good.
No.
This is bad, Meatloaf.
Yeah.
I don't know. This song, truthfully, has got my brain feeling like exactly like the Jell-O that I tried using on the egg drop challenge. It didn't work.
What do you mean?
Do you remember that? Did you do an egg drop challenge in sixth grade?
No.
I thought it was standardized in the whole country. Maybe
no,
this is
was
an island,
island
thing.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You have to engineer some contraption to safely get an egg off the roof of the school onto the ground.
Wow.
And you get points docked for size and weight.
Were you on the roof?
Yeah, you go up to the roof and you throw it off.
You know, whenever I used in my elementary school, I always, when I would leave the school, I'd be like, you know what? I think I can get on the roof.
Yeah.
And then I'd come back the next day on the bus and I'd be like, oh, no, of course I can't. Like, I can't.
Every day you did this?
Yeah. Also, when you say egg, I had a fourth grade teacher who.
Mrs. Egg.
Mrs. And she was like a real animal lover or something. Mm-hmm. And she was teaching and there was a window. And they're outside in the window. All of a sudden, she's like talking to us and like she gets distracted and she says, I'll be right back. And she runs outside. And I guess there was an egg that had fallen out of a bird's nest.
She saw that while teaching kids.
Yeah. And she was like, I need to save this. I'm going to save this baby bird.
It's
watch
an
me.
Egg.
Yeah. And she then takes a straw and she says, watch me.
Stop.
Punctures the egg. Says, watch me again. Starts sucking. Starts sucking while making eye contact with all of us. Watch me. I'm going to save this bird. And this kid, Sean, promptly, casually throws up just into a trash bin. This causes another student to then, then throw. Blah. Watch me. She doesn't address them throwing up, sucking egg, and the egg is going down her chin. Watch me. And then ultimately she goes, oh no, we lost him.
I don't, there's no way this happened.
Empty shell. No one ever believes this story, but
it's so fucking insane.
But like it happened. Just please believe
what
me.
What was her goal? She thought it was like
she
a chick.
She thought she was going to save this baby bird. It was,
but
it all happened
to say
so fast.
It even was a bird yet. Like you don't know. You can't look at an egg and be like, oh, it's a week from hatching. It could be goo.
I'm sure it was fine. I'm sure it would have been fine if she just not punctured it with a straw and sucked all of it. Mike, are you throwing up? Are you going to throw up? Okay.
It's going to make me throw up.
Yeah.
I can't stop laughing. Oh my God. I had to take a break.
And it's one of those things that you don't really have like the judgment. Like, you look really upset. You don't really have the judgment.
I can't hold it together.
He's just holding his head in his hands, kind of just shaking his head.
He doesn't want
to believe
you're
it.
You're telling me she even kept saying, "Watch me,
watch me." She wanted us to. She wanted to be seen.
She was fired, right?
I mean, she was eventually. Yeah,
that's really not okay
for bullying.
Birds.
I think cyberbullying. Like, she was
someone
fired
caught her
recently.
Bullying an owl.
I hope she's not listening. Fuck no.
I'm just saying. Listen, I am scared of you, but I do respect you.
Oh, I totally respect it. And it's one of those things that you don't judge it as a child. You're like, yeah, this.
You know, we'll bleep her name for you. There you go.
Okay, great.
Holy shit. I don't know how to go back from that.
Sorry.
Let's get back to the song. This is what Meatloaf did at the beginning of the song. We're from 11 to 0. Okay, Meatloaf, I guess, tell me about some bullshit. I don't care anymore. I'm just thinking about this teacher sucking an egg.
Sucking an egg.
No! God! Okay, we have to move on.
Oh my god, oh, this is almost my favorite part. As long as the stars are burning. This is him running up the Empire State Building. In pajamas. That's great. That's the same energy as him screaming on The Apprentice.
Or sprinting around the stage. You better believe
it. That's to Gary Busey. He's in the recording studio.
This is also that clip alone is a whole lifetime.
Oh, completely.
Like 10 aliens in some other dimension just died and lived in that moment.
It's
alone.
Like Interstellar.
McConaughey's
vlogging to his kids in that period of song.
What has happened?
You better believe it.
Throughout the clip, they doubled in speed. Mm. At least, right? That was halftime to regular tempo. Mike, you're supposed to know these things. You know music. That's why you're Music Mike.
My name.
Neil is holding Mike out of the window right now. Like, shook.
But then also those like choir from heaven just coming in to let us know we're ascending, or I guess if the album's correctly titled, descending. Mm-hmm. And now he's singing about space.
wait, he is?
As long as the planets are turning.
Okay, yeah.
As long as the stars are burning.
Yeah.
As long as your dreams are coming true, you better believe it. This is a monologue.
You better believe it.
I've auditioned with this scene.
Yeah. A contemporary male monologue.
This is Roy scene from the end of Blade Runner. I've seen things you wouldn't believe. Seen starships beaming on the Seagate. As long as the planets are turning, you better believe it.
That's good.
The classic moment.
That's good.
I don't know. Between your story.
Chewing tobacco just sprayed out of your mouth when you said that.
I did shake my headphones off.
Better believe it.
I also, like, I don't know if you can hear it. I've, like, not been able to get the congestion out of my chest this whole episode.
You've been doing a lot of good voice work, though.
To hide it?
No.
Oh, just screaming?
You've been doing a lot of different dialects.
That's, well, thank you.
All right, then.
Low-key, I'm trying to make this podcast one long audition for my voice acting. Right, then. My end game and my dreams coming true.
We're
would
a free
be,
kitch.
I don't know. Who is this? A newsie? Oh, you gather around, you boys. We're going to space because the planets are still turning. Now he's going to give us the chorus again. But
this is the best. Well,
this is
the decoy end. Like when you think like, okay, the roller coaster's over. We're going back. We can maybe go home.
Yeah.
And then he just. I mean, the next, what happens next, it blows my mind.
So first I'll give you the fake out. Mm-hmm. He's like, we're going back to Earth,
yeah.
And it's going to be calm and normal.
Yeah.
So that's this.
Yeah. Oh, I would do anything. We're going to have a night in. For love. Oh, I would do anything for love. Oh, actually, no, we're going to a bullfight. Actually, we're going to rob a pet store. We're just going to spend the night in the hammock. Actually.
I believed him. I thought we were going to have spaghetti and catch up on Succession.
Oh, no. We're going to joust with strangers.
We're going to Renaissance
in an
times.
Abandoned parking lot.
Except it's at an abandoned parking lot and there's no actors. It's us. And there's no horses.
It's criminals. It's us.
Grocery carts.
We're going to free criminals from a woman's jail.
And we're going downhill.
And we're going to all joust.
You're describing my dream date. Now he said, just kidding! Let's go to that jousting match!
Oh my God. This is him chasing coyotes.
This is, have you seen that video recently of the coyote and the badger going through a culvert together?
I love it.
That's the energy of this video. Yeah. He's the coyote saying, come along, badgers. Yeah. We're going straight back to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually gotta love it.
I love that part. So that makes my adrenaline's kicked right now.
Yeah. I feel so overwhelmed with joy. I almost feel angry.
Yeah. I want to vandalize.
I was clipping this last night at midnight. I was so tired. I was so out of it. I was like, I want to clip this before I go to bed. Chilling, half asleep. And then this part comes on.
You're clipping it like you should have clipped those parakeet's wings.
Stop.
Sorry.
Too soon.
Sorry.
It's only been 22 years.
And you got him back.
Once.
I would.
And then he flew away again. And just
are you kidding me?
No.
While your parents were in the hot tub?
Yeah, probably.
Door wide open.
Actually, probably exactly
you sketching
true.
It. I'm probably going to get out of here.
I should post with this episode not only the newspaper cover, but the picture I drew on the Lost posters I put up around town.
Oh, you did?
I didn't have a photo.
So were your parents nude in the back? And were you like, check.
He's just perched on my dad's penis.
Did you have... Did you have the police search every child's head for Ike
right
in the
it
community?
Was a, and I got something here. It was an avian alert. What? Oh fuck! Shit. Oh, blue parakeet, Honda Civic. okay. We have to move on.
Some days I pray for silence, and some days I pray for soul. Some days I just pray to the god of sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Oh, drums and rock and roll. It's not even drugs.
I heard drums, but we have to listen because I have to be sure it's drums and not drugs.
Sex and drums and rock and roll.
That's drums.
Is he just mishearing that phrase? Because it is usually sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Do you think he just embarrassingly thinks it's sex, drums, and rock and roll?
That had not occurred to me.
Like a misheard...
I would love it if that were true.
Humiliating.
I mean, or did he do it on purpose to be funny? Because secretly Meatloaf is hysterical and this is all a bit.
The funniest man.
He's doing a bit no one gets as a bit. Sprinting around stage. That's so funny.
Oh, it's so funny. I laugh. I scream laugh and I film it.
I only scream laugh. I don't know how to do anything else. Yeah, he does say he prays for to the god of sex and drums and rock and roll.
For silence. Right?
I don't know.
Sometimes I pray for silence.
Some days he prays for silence. Some days he prays for soul.
Right.
And then other days, I have to assume, he just prays.
Oh, I see.
It's a separate thought.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's praying for. I would like to know what prayers the god of sex, drums, and rock and roll rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how prayers work?
Yeah.
Some people get the rewards and some people don't.
I think so.
Okay. You're on a wait list and it's yeah. Lottery. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's... Oh, that's fucking a drumstick.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they can do for you. Sex, drums, and rock and roll?
It's probably fucking a tom drum.
That would hurt. What?
Well.
That doesn't make sense. A tom?
Yeah.
A whole ass tom?
A
if
cymbal.
You were going to fuck a drum.
Oh, no. You do that. You would have to hook up with the hi-hat.
Hi-hat is the one that everyone goes for. That's the lead singer. You could not be more obvious with the hi-hat. You know what I go for?
What do you go for?
Shaker.
Wow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
How do you get
wishes.
In there? Yeah.
It's a fun little sound surprise. I'm the instrument.
Yeah. You walking around town with the shaker?
Sha-sha-sha-sha. Okay, sure. Thanks, Meat. Also, I didn't even notice when we listened
Mr.
to the
Love.
Clip from top, they're screaming at him to stop fighting Gary Busey.
Mm.
Meat! Come on, me. No.
I thought you meant the beginning of this song.
Okay, we gotta keep going with the song. I don't know why. No, I feel like it should have been over.
It's not.
Not even close.
Not
I still
even
have
close.
Five more clips.
Okay.
Okay. And maybe I'm lonely. That's all I'm qualified
to be. That's just one and only. He's qualified. One and only promise I can keep. To be lonely. Gosh.
Oh my God. As long as the wheels are turning. As long as the fires are burning. As long as your thrills are coming to.
My heart cannot take another.
I need a break.
Yeah.
This song and coffee was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's so much?
You're panicking. Yeah. That's just him. Like, it's like, I cannot handle him driving another car through another house.
Another house. In my mind, it was like a jump and he's going through a ring of fire. This is like evil good and evil. My hands are just instinctively closing around my throat as if to kill myself. It's like, I can't, I just want to faint for a brief moment and get out of having to listen to it.
I see him like Uma Thurman getting out of her grave in Kill Bill and then just like without even using his hands, just kind of digging up through the soil and then kind of just like exploding out of the earth like a porpoise. Head, not even using hands or anything.
No, body weight.
Yeah.
Shimmering somehow out of the earth 6 feet into air.
The way Stimpy crawled using his teeth occasionally.
Oh, why'd you make me think of that?
Sorry.
I spent years trying to forget that visual.
Mike's throwing up again.
100%. And I don't know what the fuck he said. I couldn't understand any of that. He said, maybe I'm lonely.
I'm qualified to be.
That's all I'm qualified to be. Jesus. Whoa. Christ, meat.
That's meat. All you're qualified to be. Yeah.
Come on, meat. It's such low self-esteem.
I know. You must have gotten at least like a K through 8 education. Like you're qualified for a little more than just loneliness.
I mean, I have a podcast, so. There's just one and only promise I can keep. As long as the wheels are turning. This is another monologue. As long as the fires are burning.
Yeah.
As long as your prayers are coming true. You better believe it. You better believe it. The first time he said dreams are coming true. And now he's like, your prayers.
Yeah.
As long
as they're coming true.
And yeah, they are. Guess why? Because he's dating you. And your prayers were for meat. You begged for meat. Just like me in my commune. Please. I'm sorry. I have to stop talking. I grabbed all of C2. Truthfully, I feel like we're not really tracking the content of this song, and I'm kind of okay with that.
What do you mean?
Well, like usually episodes, you know, it's like we're trying to understand what he's talking about.
Well, I don't think you can understand what he's talking about. It's more a feeling than an explanation.
That's exactly how I feel. This is a song that's feeling first.
Totally.
I'll discuss the feeling more than I'm going to discuss the text, because truthfully, this song's been discussed with the text. If you want that podcast, I don't know, find it, make it. It's not me.
Right.
It's not for me.
No.
I'm busy.
The text is also not, it's definitely not like written down. It's probably like spray painted somewhere on a warehouse is probably where the lyrics are.
It was old like Hitler shack in the Palisades before they tore it down. That Malibu hike that everyone spray painted on. That's where they found the lyrics to this song.
That's where Jim S.
Okay, tagged. Jim, bring it home because I have 43 seconds of chorus two now. I'm having such a hard time tracking musically like what we're about to hear because every section's so different.
Right.
Here we go.
Oh, now everybody. Yeah. Now he's got everyone in his house singing it.
The prisoners together.
Yeah.
The guitar.
Right, the false rev up here.
I don't know what happened to my body. We went somewhere.
Yeah.
That drum sounds like Satan's drum. It's so charged.
Yeah, it is.
It's the loudest drum I've ever heard. It's
Beelzebub snare.
It's like the, I can't believe something can exist with that much compression.
Yeah, that's why I love it. Oh my God.
It's like louder than the vocal, no? Or am I just like a drum obsessed nut?
I think it is louder, yeah.
It felt like a lot.
You
my
really
heart.
Feel it, yeah.
If you saw this in concert, like you'd get defibrillated.
Absolutely. Well, the body can't take it live. And that's the and the crowd, I'm telling you, they can't process it. They don't know what to how to behave.
It, I think like in
they
three,
face away from the stage.
In like 3,000 years, if the world still exists, historians are going to look back on this song and mm-hmm. be like, now this was just very unpopular during its time because it was too advanced. We didn't get into this until the mid 2000s.
That's right.
That would take me like 2500.
You're right.
Not okay.
Aliens will like adore it.
Meatloaf?
Yeah.
I would love to write the Galaxy Quest that's just about Meatloaf.
That's a really good idea.
Which is Meatloaf loving aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny and all of it's right there. The fact that there's not like a Spinal Tap that's specifically Meatloaf is insane to me.
Because it's too fun. It's like...
There's no way to make it funnier.
No.
It has to just be a documentary.
I think, right. Because you couldn't... Imagine that. Imagine any one of these sections being your alarm in the morning. The adrenaline that your body would...
These people exist. I mean, again, the predecessor to this record is one of the greatest selling records of all time. They're everywhere. Meatloaf heads are everywhere. And I've not met a single one in all of my days.
I've met one.
And?
He was like my... he's like the best. He was like into crazy, weird shit in high school and very... And like he was always trying to get me into Meatloaf, and I did, and I couldn't.
Was he your age?
2 years older.
Okay, so he wasn't like a 40-year-old man trying to get a high schooler into Meatloaf. like a local townsman.
Yeah, he would just wait with a 6-pack of mics in the parking lot, blasting Meatloaf.
Hey, son,
you like what you hear?
Want to learn how to shave?
I feel like it would be the opposite. Want to learn how to not shave your 6-hair beard? Let it get as long as possible with castor oil.
That's what I get. I get long ghost hairs.
I do too, but they're not on my chin. I clipped my favorite moment of the song. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The next 4 seconds.
Oh, great. That's Giles Corey getting out from under the rocks.
I need to listen to it again.
Yeah. That's just him taking a bite out of wood.
I think it's important to note the second sound is the first sound is it starts with an M, and that's what makes it so funny, because it sounds like he starts by a humming. Listen. It's a hard M,
but decided instead of humming, he's gonna
sounds
yell
like
from his knees.
He bit through his upper lip.
Yeah.
It's a sound I think you hear. I think you hear this when you first die, before your fate is decided. It's like the lights go black and.
Yeah.
There's something.
I think
celestial.
It's how they wake people up in the drunk tank in certain small towns.
Imagine suddenly I'm visualizing you're in one of those deprivation tanks.
A sensory, yeah.
And this sound just plays on loop for the hour.
Oh God, yeah, you'll admit to anything.
This is a new form of torture I'm inventing. You're welcome, FBI.
You're typing it up, yeah.
Actually, Marissa, can you cut this? I'm trying to save this for something. And then also to now go into like nothing. He just now it goes in
silence, right? Who's that? Who the hell is
Where
this?
Where did she come from?
Who is this?
We can't.
Why is she here?
It's been 4 minutes. You can't bring
no,
in
right.
a new
it's
player.
It's too late. It's too late to be introduced to a new character.
Imagine you're 5 minutes into round two of Mortal Kombat and now you're fighting a new person. What? No. This is like sex you thought you were having with your boyfriend and then halfway through you found out it was a three-way.
Will you raise me up? Get me right out of this godforsaken town. Will you make it all a little less cold?
Sorry. I just needed to understand what she said because I was so focused on the way that she was singing. Like,
yeah.
What is that? Like a prospector?
What do you mean? Like a
will
like,
you raise me up? Oh, will yeah. you help me down?
Yeah. Like,
it's not singing.
It's evangelical.
There's something churchy.
It's very churchy, yeah.
And also when you overpronounce your words, you know, it's like it's scary to hear when you're thinking you're just going to hear Meatloaf continue with his sweet Frank Sinatra-esque croon.
Right, when someone comes in with a Rent audition.
Yeah, and it's a woman, and you were listening to a man.
The whole thing is super jarring.
I feel like if I were, like, you know, on, like, an acid trip, mm-hmm. this would turn me into a bad trip. This part of the song.
Yeah. No, I mean,
just the surprise alone.
Just this part?
It's like when you like, surprise a kid, and they're a little bit too young, even though it's a good surprise, they start crying. I didn't even talk about what she said. Will you help me get right out of this godforsaken town? This feels like in an improv scene, it's coming in a little late, establishing the place.
Yeah, she's in Albany. Just, yeah.
She's in Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, get me out of here.
And she's letting us know, guess what? It's a little less cold where she wants to be because the town is cold.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, presumably.
That's a good context clue. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't go to college, but I did take creative writing in high school.
Yeah.
And now your favorite line of the song. But not before Meatloaf response, what she just said.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that. Yeah. I can do that to everything.
This is so good.
Will you hold me down with holy water if I get too hot?
That's the devil.
Hose. Using a fire hose filled with holy water.
Yes.
Hose me down is one of my favorite phrases.
Hose me down,
old friend.
I am so with you. I think, did you get it from this? Had you heard before?
I don't know. It's a line of dialogue that I try to include in almost anything.
Hose down.
There's something about being hosed. Like
I feel like I just saw one of your sets or something. You just posted something that I saw where you said
hose me down.
Yeah, you want to be hosed down on the dock? Something. I'm trying to remember what your bit was. It was very funny.
I appreciate that. There's something so degrading about getting hosed down.
Or empowering.
If you're too hot. Like if I get too hot.
I would love a hose.
With blessed water.
It needs to be like, right back down to hell.
It's painful.
I don't know. I mean, would I be burned from holy water? I've not been baptized, yeah?
I would
be burned.
You would get a couple like.
A little burnies.
Yeah.
A little cute little.
You'd get like a slight dermatitis. It would be like a poison oak rash.
Okay. And so even though I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it because it hurts. I'm just trying to understand like what Lorraine is saying here. She wants to be burned.
She's saying I think it's like.
She's too horny and she needs the power of Christ.
Sometimes. Sometimes you just got to like bring me back to the church. Yeah.
Okay. So she's not.
If I get too.
A demon. Because that was the first thing I felt like he was singing to, like the devil, like enchanting her.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
She's like, yeah, when I start like getting worked up, just like spray me with some painful water.
Got it. Oh my God, that makes sense.
Well, because if you're not, I just don't understand why holy water make you less horny. Like,
Well, I think it's like.
I'm so horny.
Is it thinking of your grandparents or something? You know how they tell you to do that.
Is that, maybe I'm just like so out of the religious space, I don't even understand this joke.
That they're making?
Yeah. Is that supposed to be a thing? You're like, holy water. No, like I thought only vampires did that. I genuinely have never heard it outside of the vampire context.
Right. I guess I was just thinking that it was just like, make me a little holier. I didn't realize that she's trying to punish herself.
Oh, right. It's just, I guess when you said hose me down, it feels like it's like, back, demon, and not like, blessed be the father, like, dripped on your head or whatever the fuck.
Right. It's not even like a celebratory bucket.
Okay, now Meatloaf, will you take her places that she'll never know? I don't know, but you know what I have? 51 seconds to the rest of the song. Let's fucking finish this.
Okay. That's a small ass.
The territory at the round. It'll all turn to dust and we'll all fall down.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Sooner or later you'll be screwing around.
What? Sorry, really quick. This whole song has been him just saying, apropos of nothing, I love you so much, I'll do anything, I won't cheat on you, I won't hurt you, I won't blah, blah, blah. And then at the very end, the girl just randomly comes in and then within seconds is like, and you're going to cheat on me.
Right. And then listen to this. she's like, the proper response to that would be, it's like an opportunity for a slam dunk of like, oh, have you
been
like, it sounds like infidelity is like, oh, like, I'm so sorry. Like, no, I'm certainly not going to do that. But then how he responds is just the least convincing. No, I won't. No, I won't do that. No, I won't. Oh, no, I won't do it. It's like, and also in the live version, he pauses for a good 2 minutes after she says that and is staring at her horrified.
He has to think about it. He was like, whoa, I'll do anything for love, but I will not do monogamy.
You can tell, right, he's going to be cheating on her immediately. And he's clearly lying.
Here's me asking me, will you do anything for love? And then I go, almost over there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And also, it's a pretty crazy question to just launch at somebody.
Like, will you cheat? Will you
She actually doesn't even ask. It's a statement.
She states it.
Sooner or later, you'll be screwing around. After saying all these things, being like, ooh, will you do all my fantasies? And he's like, yes. And she's like, will you spray me with holy water? And he's like, of course,
you'll
babe.
You'll go to hell.
And then she's like, and you're gonna cheat on me. And he's like, well, what?
No, I won't do that.
That kind of came out of nowhere.
No.
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, but he's not alarmed. He's not shaken.
Not at all. In fact, that you're more alarmed by the fact that he's just like so nonchalant in his response.
Yes.
I'm more alarmed by the fact that he's just like not upset that she asked him that.
Okay, yeah.
That's crazy.
It is.
Yeah. That she said that. He's just like, okay. Like, this man's medicated. That's crazy. And now finally end the song.
No, I won't do anything for love.
An impossible double.
And it never resolves. Wow.
Yeah, it just kind of leaves you hanging.
What a way to just have us fuck ourselves a tiny bit at the end. I won't go back to one. That's really upsetting. I don't know
why. Yeah.
I feel like a different person now than I was when we started listening to that song.
Yeah. Yeah, lots changed with me too.
So, what is it? It hurts. It hurts my body.
It's a real, it's really a real visceral feeling.
Like, I don't know what was said. Truthfully, I had a hard time tracking what the fuck they were talking about.
We both have a huge rash now.
I know. I feel like you see me checking my skin.
Yeah. Yeah. My ankle's sprained.
I didn't move, but they're both sprained.
I've been sitting. Yeah. Yeah.
However, let's listen to, before we have to use our brains again, what?
We have to use our, what are we going to have to do?
Well, I'm going to make you tell me after we listen to this.
Oh, no.
How to improve this song.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then I rewrite the song. Ramus, my Grammy Award-winning musician in residence, will have his musical commentary now on Meatloaf's I'd Do Anything for Love.
Really?
Yep.
I Would Do Anything for Love is quite a wild ride, and one of the reasons for this is that it operates on a severe tempo spectrum. Nowadays, if I were a musician playing this song, I would probably have a well-programmed click track that's going to kind of show me where each section is going to land, but back then I think they would have just been playing together in a room and listening and holding on for dear life, which is what the song feels like. There are a variety of tempos used in this song, and I'm just going to quickly name all of them that I was able to tap out with my little iPhone app. 116, 90, 156, 112, 104, 154, 151, 149, and then finally we settle into 105 for most of the end of the song once Lorraine Crosby comes in and starts singing. One thing I'd love to draw your attention to is the drum part, which is really well considered amidst this otherwise very schlocky arrangement. Sorry. The first entrance is at what I'll call a pre-verse vamp when the tempo shifts up dramatically. That is the 156, I believe. If you're familiar with the song Born in the USA, which I'm sure you are, this beat might remind you of that, just kind of like on crack. The next section is the verse, and the snare pattern shifts over to the kick drum for some continuity while the drummer does what I'll call treading water on the hi-hat. Following the verse is the B section, and we have a shift here in the entire band to halftime feel. and a very delicate rock beat. Not what you would necessarily expect at this point in the song, something that might normally be saved for a bridge, but here we are. Then, of course, there's a pre-chorus, which I like to think of as the Queen moment, because the second chord of the section really reminds me of their work. Our drummer has shifted here to a four on the floor, thank God. But there's a really surprising ending to this section, which I think is interesting. We peter out with a bit of a retard and a cymbal crash before stopping playing drums altogether, which is really unusual because normally in a pre-chorus, you'd be trying to gather energy for the chorus and to really arrive. But we arrive more like by omission, which I think is possible in the case of this song because the chorus was actually the intro, and so it's familiar material. There's one more section in the song before things start repeating, and that is a sort of post-chorus. And our drummer has chosen yet another pattern, which is the kick drum on 1 and 3, as opposed to 2 and 4 where he started before. I'm not sure if I've really made sense of this for anyone, but hopefully you can at least feel better knowing that when you're listening to this song and it's pulling you in a million different directions, it's because the song actually is.
That's exactly how you felt.
So hard.
Wow, he really...
He just exactly explained in scientific terms the feeling
why
of why I could not track this song at all.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not a song. I honestly...
It's a manifesto.
It is. And the fact that there's how many tempos did he just name? 15?
So many.
That's fucking crazy. I've never heard of a song doing that. I would be hard-pressed to think of another song in the world that does that.
That is really wild.
I feel like, obviously, any input you have on thoughts or ideas on how to improve this song, please tell me.
God, I mean, I think it's, okay. I think it's perfect, but let's think about this.
Part of me is like, now hearing that it is such a tempo thing, I think this would be almost a deliberate punch down, but if you made it all one tempo, how much different.
That's interesting, yeah.
How differently, I don't know how to say this, how just incredibly different this would be as a song.
And if you were to narrate, like, for example, at like what Meatloaf is doing, like what the feeling is, like when he takes the sledgehammer to the Shark Tank for that
narrate
big moment. Yeah, if you were to like say this, like now, like lyrically, like now this is Meatloaf doing this, doing X, Y, and Z. Now this is him, you know, like...
So maybe...
on a Razor scooter going down Kilimanjaro, blindfolded.
Okay, how do we feel about this idea of... It's now a single tempo song and the instrumental flourishes are what makes the song. The lyrics of the song are just telling you, explaining what the instrumental flourish you're currently hearing is Meatloaf doing.
Exactly. I love that.
Great. So that's what we're doing. And it'll be worse for sure.
And I think the woman should occasionally pop in and be like, hey, just so you know, I'm about to, like, I'm here. I don't want to alarm you. I'm going to come in later.
I'm going to come in later.
Like, just to kind of make the audience feel more at ease.
Perfect. Basically, we're going to make a full-on sketch and it's only audio.
Yeah.
Love this for us.
Yeah.
And by us, I mean me, because I am doing this.
Yeah.
Let's hear what I did.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere of the
Meatloaf's I'd Do Anything for Love. Except I changed the words so that, well, I don't really know. Listen, this one, it hurt me to make. So I'm pretty sure it's going to hurt you to listen. Your brain won't be the same. You will be sick like me. And Chris, apparently.
Spelunking into hell. He's got guns, unafraid. He's punching a xylophone of bones. I think he had it custom made. He takes off his shirt, fills his mouth with dirt, and screams,
"You understand me?"
And he blows his whistles in the hope they'll bring him a joke. A slop be Joe. Now he's playing for a lease, but he can't stop biting the keys. So he keeps walking to hell with pockets full of Christmas bells. Now he's betting on crow fights, just throwing coins at crows. And now he's texting the devil. You up? Are you? Are you up? He won't stop shooting stalagmites. He keeps high-fiving stalactites. He's on hold with DirecTV, and he's still shooting. He does a cannonball in the sticks, frantically checks his text messages, rollerblades into Satan's pit, and gives him a kiss. Yes, he does do that. Mwah.
Brava.
Right?
Brava.
Let's get to Unpunchable Jams!
You can't punch this.
Chris? Chris Fleming, what is your Unpunchable Jam?
We were talking about When I'm With Him, the Empress Of song.
Sucker, I already made that one like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
You punched it up?
No, I made it an Unpunchable Jam. It's already on the playlist.
Oh my God, really?
Okay. Of course it is. We might have a lot of crossover here.
What about Love? I just Spotify just threw this chicken into my coop. Mm-hmm. Love Thy Will Be Done by Martika and Prince. Prince like wrote it and recorded a version of it himself that's like instrumentally identical to Martika's version. I don't know who Martika is. I thought it was a new song. Like,
so then you saw Prince and you were like, what? It's time of the year.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
I can't believe it was a Prince song I don't know.
I don't understand how I wasn't aware of it either.
It's crazy you brought up Prince because he was at one point the Unpunchable Jam I was going to name on this show.
Oh.
Was a Prince song. And
which Prince song? When You Were Mine?
I'm not going to say because I might use it for future ones still.
Can you whisper? Can you text it to me?
I'll text it to you later.
Okay.
I'll text you just in cryptic, like a cipher. You have to figure it out. Go to a scavenger hunt. Go to Bagelsmith Bagels. For my Unpunchable Jam.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a new song I just heard that I don't think many people have heard yet. It is by an artist called Yor Smith, and the song is Bad Habit.
Bad Habit.
I feel like I could be wrong. You might not like it.
Can you play it for him?
I'm going to.
Can you blast it?
I can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's dreamy.
It is like a dreamy pop kind of indie, like sway type song.
I love it.
If you don't like this song, I'm guessing it might have something to do with like how intimate the vocal is. The vocal is very like,
okay.
What is the term? Like whisper adjacent?
Pillow talk.
A little bit, but it's such a, I love the chorus.
Was that a xylophone I heard too?
I don't know, maybe.
Oh, I love it. Bad Habit by Yor Smith.
By Yor Smith. I know. You came for a podcast, you walked away with the music recommendation.
Is a Yor Smith like a, because that used to, it's like, it's someone who works for you. Does it's like a,
you're Smith.
You're Smith. I'm like, I'm your Smith. I'm a Yor Smith.
I understand. Perhaps. Maybe that's their name. I don't know.
That's kind of cool.
They're hot. Whatever their deal is.
Sounds really
Yor
hot.
Smith, just so you know, I think you're hot. And that should be your new name. Let's wrap up the show. Chris! Thank you so much for coming on. And
thanks so much for having
following
me.
Following this like K-hole? Where'd we just go? That's crazy. I don't know what happened.
We're in the Jade Realm.
Is that one hot spa, Wii Spa?
Yeah.
That's the Jade Room?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I like my nose went in and then I my nose tip went in and I about faced.
What do you want to promote?
One Geppetto in.
What do you want to promote? Where do you want people to follow you? What can people check out?
WeBuyUglyHouses.com. And that's it.
Fuck you. It's Chris Fleming and or Fleming?
And the weather app.
I'm going to fucking kill you if you don't actually promote yourself. You're so funny. People need to know about you if they don't already.
I'm on Instagram.
You make YouTube videos. You made DePiglio.
You like DePiglio?
I love DePiglio. I left it RT for like 3 weeks. I was obsessed with it.
Thank you.
DePiglio, you're just so funny. I can't believe you agreed to this fucking podcast.
I love your podcast, Neil.
Yeah, clearly.
I do.
Thank
I do.
You. Chris, do you want to say goodbye to Mike on air?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm going to say things that I don't want to be recorded when I say goodbye to him.
Yeah, right. We'll wait till we get off. Okay, see you next week. Bye.
Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum podcast.